Mayor Cheryl Westover allowed members of the public 1 minute apiece to ask questions of Sea Alaska executives Rick Harris, Jaylene Arujo, and Russell Dick.
We'll give them time to respond, and we'll go that way. And please be polite and courteous.
A gentle admonition before discussion of a topic that's been known to test tempers in Sitka. Two pieces of federal legislation that would grant thousands of acres of land to Sea Alaska, coupled with the Regional Native Corporation's separate and much older selection of 11 acres near Redoubt Falls. Those who asked questions of the company officials had two main ideas on their mind. What is Sea Alaska going to do with the land it obtains? And when it comes to popular subsistence fishing sites like Redoubt...
Can you tell me yes or no? Will I be allowed access, free access as it is currently, to the site that I subsistently harvest fish?
Sitka resident Ryan Kaufman there, first up with a question that was repeated throughout the night. If Sea Alaska owns the lands around Redoubt, will subsistence fishermen still have access to do their fishing? Jaylene Arujo is vice president and general counsel for Sea Alaska. She says subsistence does occur on private property in addition to public land.
Our intention is to ensure that there's no difference beyond, you know, from the current use of the site. And we'll do everything within our power to make sure that happens as long as the site is not negatively impacted.
If the level of use is maintained at its current levels and doesn't grow into something that harms the property, Arujo says she doesn't see any change occurring. Other questioners were more pointed, like Davey Lubin, who questioned a map Sea Alaska distributed at the meeting showing a few dots representing sites it plans to select. Lubin says there are at least 25 sites in the House version of the land selection legislation.
S-730, the Senate bill, companion bill, it could be hundreds. Who knows? They're not even listed. And you mentioned you want to get beyond timber. And I'm wondering, is that why you're choosing 70,000 or so acres of high-class old-growth trees on and around Prince of Wales Island?
Lubin went on to ask a few more questions in his minute, including why Sea Alaska wants to select lands outside the original boundaries in the 1971 legislation that entitles them to their selections. Rick Harris is executive vice president for Sea Alaska.
We accepted those boxes at the time, but our selection choice without going into those boxes was mountaintops, top of Baranoff, top of Wrangell St. Elias, which is now Monument Wilderness. Those were the kinds of things that were available for us to select.
Lubin also asked why the organized village of Cake, the recognized tribal government in that community, came out with resolutions opposing the legislation. Arujo says the tribal government believes that the sacred sites Sea Alaska wants to own should be under tribal control.
We actually, as a corporation, would support tribal ownership of sites, but right now there's no means to put land into tribal ownership that could be in trust to keep it protected.
She said the legislation that would convey it to Sea Alaska, on the other hand, would put it into perpetual native ownership. Just fewer than half of the members of the public who spoke did so in support of Sea Alaska's efforts. Many of them, like Harriet Miyasato Belial, said Sea Alaska will own only a small percentage of the land, and she says it shouldn't have taken 40 years of negotiations for that small percentage.
What are we trying to explain to you? Because why should we? I don't know why we need to explain, because we were the Aboriginal people. And like I said, you know, the government will take with one hand and give it to you with one hand and take it back with the other hand and give you double talk.
Back in May, assembly members were considering a resolution to oppose Sea Alaska's land selections, both the federal bills and the Redoubt selection. Sea Alaska, as it turned out, was having a shareholder meeting in the next room the night the assembly met. After lengthy testimony that night, the assembly softened its language, expressing concern instead of opposition. And both sides agreed to have a longer conversation in the future, and that's how last night's discussion came about. Rick Harris said the corporation didn't communicate more with the city because it felt nothing had really changed with the legislation since the last time the two entities spoke. He apologized for not having more dialogue with city leaders. A Sea Alaska representative spent some time before the assembly talking about their initiatives in a lot of surrounding communities, for example, Cake, where Sea Alaska's revitalization of a fish plant has brought a couple dozen jobs to the community. Russell Dick is president and CEO of Ha'ani, the land management arm of Sea Alaska. He says the company's goal is to meet economic needs in communities where its shareholders live by getting people started with their own business ventures.
The last thing we want to do, or the last thing I want to do, is walk into one of our rural communities and say, Sea Alaska's here, we're going to solve your problems, here's what you need to do. Because that isn't going to work long term, that's not sustainable for us.
Assemblymember Larry Cruz said the company's work in Angoon and Cake was good, but that those predominantly native communities were a different environment than Sitka. Later, Terry Blake said he sees a new generation of native leaders, and he wondered how Sitkins could be reassured that Sea Alaska and the community are on the same team. Dick addressed both notions.
Ethnicity is an issue, yeah, maybe much easier in Cake and Angoon, maybe more difficult here, but that doesn't mean that we don't sit down and try, right? And I think there are a lot of opportunities here, and, you know, I don't know if it's a generational thing, but I think you're right. It's an opportunity to come sit down with people and just say, look, things may be different now. You know, it's not the same as it was 40 years ago. But let's sit down and figure out a way to make this work for everybody.
At public meetings in March of 2010 and again in May of this year, people gave impassioned testimony for and against the measures. Recent action on Sea Alaska's readout selection, which was first filed in the 70s, has also provoked strong feelings from people on both sides of the issue. Whether Tuesday night's discussion was a step toward any compromise or agreement or even understanding is hard to determine, but it was decidedly calmer than conversations held in the past. Sea Alaska's executives say they'll keep in contact with city leaders and will hope to talk again when they return for a Tongass Futures Roundtable gathering in Sitka early next month. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.